All right, guys. Well, Mr. Jube asked me to talk to you here today, and I want to talk to you now a little less as a coach and a lot more as a former competitor who's gone through a few national tournaments of my own and kind of walked the same walk that you guys are in right now, done the same things, thought the same thoughts, I'm sure, as a lot of you in this room here today. And I want to share a little bit with you about excellence and success at the national level and excellence and success as you go in to this tournament. I want to start by discussing a very famous Latin phrase, carpe diem. Who knows what that means? Carpe diem.
Seize the day.
Seize the day. What comes to mind when you hear that? Go ahead, John. Dead Poets Society. That's what I've got written down on my piece of paper. The Dead Poets Society. I watched that movie a few years back. Excellent film, by the way. I'm going to be a little bit hard on it here, but it is an excellent film. Don't get me wrong there. The Dead Poets Society uses that phrase, carpe diem, to essentially mean do something new and exciting today, is what it ends up meaning throughout the film. It goes from everything from doing silly walks around the schoolyard to standing up on desks, and while I'm not exactly opposed to standing on top of desks, I found it to be a little bit of a hollow interpretation of such an epic phrase. Seize the day. It means standing on top of a desk? Really? It's got to be something more, right, to a phrase that powerful. And so I started thinking about, what does carpe diem really mean when I hear that, seize the day? And I got a very different image from someone standing on top of a desk. I got the image of a king, a medieval king, on a battlefield, all decked out in his armor. He's on the ground. It's been a long, long day of battle. There's bodies all over the place. His men are tired. They want to go back to camp. It's the end of the day of combat, and they fought to a stalemate. And this king is faced with the decision to either return to camp, surrender the field, and just call it a draw for the day, or push on, try and seize the day. And as he looks back at his men, he rallies them with one last call, not to give up, not to fall back, because mediocrity and a draw simply isn't good enough. Victory and excellence must be the goal. And then they go forth and they seize that day. And I want to speak to you here today and encourage you to seize the coming week and seize the moment that you're about to be faced with. Believe it or not, the desire for excellence is innate within each and every one of you. I probably lost some of you in this room. I know I lost a lot of people in this community when I say something like that. That the desire for excellence is innate within each of us, and that's a positive thing. See, there tends to be a string of thinking that goes something like this. There's type A people that are about excellence, and there's type B people that are not so much about excellence. We all know some people that would consider themselves type B people, right? We all know people who would consider themselves type A people. I would challenge that. I would say that it's in each and every one of us to desire excellence. Oftentimes, however, we suppress it. We push it away. Because desiring excellence is looked down upon as being overly confident or desiring only trophies or what have you. That's a mindset that's often looked down upon. I want to challenge that here today. I would say the desire for excellence is within every single one of you. And our mission here today is to decide where that comes from and then figure out how to harness that productively for the coming week. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Paul's call to excellence. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9:24, has an interesting call to excellence. I believe a biblical command to excellence. And I find that very fascinating here. And I think especially in the International Standard Version, the verse is particularly challenging for the coming week. It says, "You know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize, don't you? You must run in such a way that you may be victorious." I love that word victorious here. I love that word that it's not just enough to run in a manner worthy of the prize, as some translations would put it, that you need to run in a manner worthy of victory. That you ought to be victorious as you run this race. I really feel that that's a call to excellence from the Apostle Paul to each and every one of you. It's playing upon that innate desire for excellence that's within each of us. And as you realize that you're called to excellence, that means several things. It means that your pursuit of excellence reflects on those around you. reflects on your friends, reflects on your clubmates, reflects to some degree on your coaches, definitely reflects upon your family and your upbringing. But far more important than that, your pursuit of excellence reflects on yourself, your character, your internal drive, your identity, and most importantly of all, it reflects on the God who created you and furthermore called you to excellence. Let that sink in. Your pursuit of excellence reflects on your character and the God who created you and called you to excellence. That means that the way that you go about your business this week, the way you pursue competitive success, reflects directly on who you are as a person and the way that you pursue the calling God has laid before you. I always found that to be a very profound and challenging thought going into competition, that my actions would reflect on myself and my Creator as I went into that week. And the way that I pursued that calling had that reflection all the way back to God, my Creator. I always found that to be very interesting, and it's something I think that should motivate you far more than competitive success and trophies. Because trophies are great. I have got a few of them back at home. I enjoy them very much. They hang on my walls. They're wonderful wall decorations. But at the end of the day, trophies aren't that much of a motivation, guys. They just really aren't. The motivation has to be that I have the character and I have the will to pursue my calling so much that I will pursue excellence. That doesn't mean that you're going to win every debate round. It doesn't mean that you're going to win every award. But it does mean that you ought to put the effort forth to be victorious. You are called to that excellent effort. And so now I want to discuss a little bit how we go about being excellent this week. How you go about pursuing that excellence in a godly manner and go about pursuing that excellence in a way that will reflect kindly both upon your character and your Creator. And I want to share with you my inspiration. A man who has inspired me greatly throughout my competitive career. That man is John Wooden. Anybody know who that is? Wow, we have like a couple sports fans. John Wooden. Okay, awesome. A few more hands went up. John Wooden, college basketball coach, UCLA. Yeah, there you go. College basketball coach at UCLA. He won 10 national championships in 12 years. 10 out of a possible 12. Staggering achievement. Hasn't even been approached by anyone since. 10 national championships in 12 years. He knew a little bit about winning. Knew a little bit about excellence, guys. The thing about John Wooden is he also knew a little bit about being a man of character. In fact, he was widely regarded as not only a fantastic basketball coach, but a fantastic man. And so I want to share with you a few of his thoughts on excellence as we go into Nye Talk. And I have 5 keys for you here today, 5 keys to excellence at Nye Talk. These are all started off with quotes from John Wooden. The first one is, quote, "Don't measure yourself by what you have accomplished, but by what you should have accomplished with your ability." It's pretty challenging, isn't it? Don't measure yourself by what trophy you get, but by what trophy you should have gotten with your ability. So if you get 5th, it may sound great, but if you had the ability to get 1st, all of a sudden 5th doesn't look so great anymore, does it? Don't measure yourself by what you are able to achieve. Measure yourself against what you should have achieved. You see, excellence is a higher standard. Excellence is not just about competitive success. Excellence is holding yourself to a higher standard, a standard of maximizing your talent. That is excellence. Maximizing what you have been given as you go throughout the course of this tournament. And excellence requires that you hold yourself responsible to those expectations, your own expectations, and the expectations of your Creator as you pursue excellence. Not the expectations of others, not that was a pretty good performance standard, but the standard of what should I have achieved had I maximized my ability. So the first key to excellence, guys, is to hold yourself to a higher standard than what you actually achieve at this tournament. And that comes with goal writing. Travis talked about that at the beginning of this camp. Figure out what you believe you are capable of doing and hold yourself to that goal. You would be amazed how much that changes your mindset when you have a goal that is set out as this is what I ought to be achieving with the talent that I have? Take the time, guys. Take the time. Write down your goals. Think through that. And think through what you're going to do to achieve those goals. Our second key is it's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. Little things make big things happen. It's the fundamentals. And we've gone over this. I spoke to this specifically with the policy debaters, and I'm sure it's been emphasized in LD as well. It's the little things that make champions. It's the little things that differentiate you from other people. It's not the big things. There's no magic potion that I can give you to suddenly make you a better debater. It's not going to happen. You're not going to make massive changes between now and the start of NITOC that are suddenly going to transform how you debate. It's the subtleties. It's the details. It's the little things that make you better at this point. And it's doing the little things right. All the way down to listening well and flowing well. We talked about that in policy. Those things differentiate you from other debaters. They make you better than other debaters. It's the attention to detail and the attention to the fundamentals. So I'd encourage you this week, don't be lazy. Do the little things right. I know it's tough sometimes to remember that you gotta flow those sources and those dates. It's tough in LD to make sure that you do your due diligence on definitions and make sure you understand the terms of the round. It's difficult at times to do the little things right because the little things take time, because the little things take effort. But it's effort that is well worth it because little things make big things happen. And as you make those little adjustments and cross your T's and dot your I's, things start to come together in the bigger picture and it makes you a much better debater. Our third key to excellence here today. Don't let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. Don't let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. Bottom line is you can't control judges, matchups, coin flips. You can't control any of that, guys. It's way outside of your control. You can try to influence judges, but let's be honest, they're rather stubborn about that sometimes, aren't they? And there's a guy sitting right across the table from you who's trying to do the same thing and not in the direction you want that judge influenced. You can't control it. They are totally different entities that you have no control over. You can't control who you're going to go against throughout the course of the tournament. That's Tab's job. You can't control which way that coin flips in out rounds, can you? Trust me, you can't. I lost about like 20 coin flips last year. It's terrible. But it happens, and you can't control it. The key is to not let that get in the way of what you can control. And there are a few things that you can control, and that's what I want to discuss here for a moment. There's three things I think you can control between now and the start of NITOC and throughout the course of NITOC that are going to make you better. First one is your preparation. Guys, get a list of things together you need to do before Tuesday morning. Whether that's memorizing your cases, that's a big one for everybody. Memorize those cases. Have them fluid. Make sure that you're speaking as at another level. Make sure that you write that last brief. Make sure you get that definitional argument written out. Make sure that you take the time to be prepared come Tuesday morning. Take your time and make sure that you get prepared. Block out a couple of hours tomorrow and get that work done. Otherwise, you're going to regret it. You really will. If you don't get the work done now, you'll regret it, and you'll pay for it throughout the course of the tournament. So make sure that you are prepared. The second thing is you can control your performance. You really can. You can't control what the judge thinks of you, but you can control how well you perform. You can control your speaking through preparation and drills. You can control your argumentation. You can control how you go about your business in a round. You can control your performance. You can't control how that performance is perceived. But you can make that performance excellent. You can do the best that you possibly can within that round. The third thing that you can control is the thing that I think is most overlooked and yet most important. That is, you can control your psychology. You can control your mental game as you go into NITOC. It's amazing to me, the parallels between debate and sports. I'm an athlete. I have been all of my life. I played golf competitively for a while, played baseball competitively for a long time. And there's a lot of parallels between sports and debate, specifically the game of golf and debate, I feel like. I think that golf is such a mental game that there's a lot of parallels between how a golfer prepares for a major tournament and how a debater ought to prepare for a major tournament. It's very similar. There's a lot of golfers who have professional psychologists that follow them around. Sports psychologists, they're called. I think it's kind of ridiculous, and I'm not saying go hire a shrink before NITOC starts. Don't understand me as saying that. But I am saying that they take psychological preparation very seriously, as should all of you. You should take it very, very seriously. Take 2 hours between now and Night Talk and get mentally ready for the tournament. What I mean by that is sit down with your goals, figure those goals out. I mean, visualize achieving those goals. If you want to win Night Talk, visualize yourself on that stage taking that first place trophy. Do it. Really do it. Take a couple hours and meditate on what you're going to do this week and get mentally ready. That'll help you more than writing another brief. It'll help you more than anything else. Get mentally ready for the tournament. That's something you can control. You can get focused. You can get ready. And you have to do that if you want to be successful at this tournament. It's amazing to me how many people walk in on day one as if a speech and debate tournament is a social event. And I know you all have friends, and I have friends too, and I love hanging out with friends at tournaments. But the bottom line is that you need to be mentally ready on day one for competition. And you need to take 15 minutes before every single round and make those minutes sacred for yourself and say, I'm going to get focused on the round for these 15 minutes. It means no more friends, no more discussions on Star Wars or fashion. It means getting focused for a debate round and what you need to do to win that round and to be excellent in that round. That's something you can control. And that's something that you should control going into this tournament. Our fourth key is it's not what you do, but how you do it. It's not what you do, but how you do it. And this is where we get into a little bit of a different aspect of excellence. Excellence isn't just achievement. Excellence worries about the means and the end. Excellence isn't all about achievement, it's also about how you achieve things. It means doing things in an ethical manner. That means competing cleanly and fairly. It means being excellent in your character as well as in your achievements. And that's something that I would really, really challenge you guys to make sure that you do throughout the course of this tournament. Success is hollow if it's achieved in an unethical manner. If it's achieved in a way that is less than excellent when it comes to how you went about your business at this tournament. Compete cleanly. Compete fairly. But absolutely compete. And compete with character. That's the key, guys. Compete with character. Make sure that when you walk out of a round, the character that you're reflecting is both honoring to those around you and honoring to God. Remember, you're called to excellence by God. The way you go about achieving that excellence reflects directly back upon your Creator. Keep that in mind as you go throughout this week. And keep in mind that your actions don't just reflect upon yourself, but they reflect on those around you. And they do speak directly to your character. The fifth key that I have for you is if you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over? If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over? And I would encourage you here today to appreciate the enormity of the moment you are in. Appreciate the enormity of the moment that you are in. You're at a national championship, guys. You're about to compete for a national championship. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. You are the best in the nation. If you're in debate, both styles of debate, you're in the top 100 in the entire country right now that have showed up to this tournament. There's less than 100 of you competing for a national championship, and one of you is going to walk away with that title of national champion at the end of the week. Appreciate the enormity of what you are doing. Absolutely, you have achieved great things. And you're going to go on and achieve even greater things, I think, this week. I think there are NITSI debaters here who are going to achieve fantastic things by the end of Saturday. I really do. But appreciate what you are doing, because you're not going to get a chance to do it again. This is the only NITOC 2011. There's not another one that's going to come around. For you seniors, this is your last opportunity to compete for a national championship. That's enormous. You don't get another crack at this. There are no do-overs for you. For those of you that aren't seniors, it's still an enormous moment because you never get a chance to do this one over again. I can tell you, looking back on my career, I had competitive success, but there are moments I wish I could have done over. especially at national championships. There are things that I wish would have turned out differently, things I would do over again if I had the opportunity to. Regrets that I have. And if you don't have time to do it right, you're never going to have time to do it over. You don't get a do-over. Embrace the enormity of this moment and recognize it as what it is. Because it is a fantastic opportunity. But it's an opportunity that if you let it go by, you will regret. You will regret later on down the road. Keep that in mind. So when Tuesday comes, guys, you have a choice. You can interpret carpe diem to mean having fun and go hang out with friends, go hang out at the beach, already be planning the outfits that you're going to wear Thursday and Friday and Saturday when you don't break. And don't act like some of you don't do that, because I know that you do. All right? You have that choice. You absolutely can do that. Many of you might. I would encourage you don't. Don't. See it as something different. See this moment as something different. See it as that king on the battlefield saying that mediocrity simply isn't good enough. Don't settle, guys. Don't settle. Mediocrity is not good enough. Victory and excellence are what you've been called to, what you're capable of, and what you ought to achieve throughout the course of this week. Keep that in mind. Seize this day. Seize this moment. Seize this week. Go on and compete with excellence. I'll leave you with one final nugget from Coach Wooden. He says, success is the peace of mind which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing that you did your best to become the best you are capable of becoming. That's success, guys. It's knowing that you left it all on the line. It's knowing that I couldn't have done any more. It's knowing that I achieved what I was capable of achieving. That's success. And there is a peace in that. I hope you guys get to experience that at the end of this week. Don't set unrealistically high expectations. But know that at the end of the week, you have done everything that you could have done. You left it all on the line. That's a satisfaction that you don't get to experience often in life, and I think you're all capable of experiencing that satisfaction come Saturday night. I hope you all do. But it takes some effort. I can't hold you to that. I don't know if you're satisfied with your performance or not. I don't know if you did everything that you could to become everything that you could be. I can't hold you to that. It's not a statistic or a number that we can analyze or crunch or throw up on the NITOC website or NITSE website for next year. We had the highest satisfaction rate of any debaters. We can't do that. We don't know. It's between you and it's between the God that called you to excellence and you. Think about this, guys. Saturday night, are you going to be able to look in the mirror, look yourself in the eye, and say, I did everything that I could. I competed with excellence. I left it all on the line, and I am satisfied with the results. Are you going to be able to do that? Have you ever been able to do that after a tournament? It's an interesting question. Think about that, guys. Think about Saturday evening. Will you be able to do that? More importantly, will you be able to look him in the eye and say that I did everything that I could with the ability that you have given me? I ran the race with excellence. I ran it in a manner worthy of victory. I did everything that I could with the talent and the opportunity that you have provided me. That's challenging, guys. If you really think about it, it's very challenging. And I found it incredibly challenging when I went into tournaments, that this is way bigger than you. And it's way bigger than anything that you can accomplish at NITOC. It's really about pursuing excellence in a way that honors God and reflects on Him in a way that shows the calling to excellence that He has given you. Those are the thoughts that I have for you here today. I believe wholeheartedly that since you're here, you believe in excellence. You believe in competitive success, at least at some degree, because you're putting the time in ahead of time to get prepared for NITOC. That's a good first step. Go out, guys. Compete with excellence. Compete with honor. And at the end of the day, be able to have that satisfaction that comes from success.